Good evening. This is a joyous occasion, isn't it? It's both joyous and it's sobering. It's somber. It's an amazing truth that for our rescue to be accomplished, God Himself had to come to earth and had to come to earth in weakness. This passage this evening, what I'd love to do, and I'm not going to do, what I'd love to do is weave the main points of all the scripture we've read to this point and all the brilliant prayers and theology that we've sung in the hymns and expand on it in a long, wonderful sermon about Christ. But we're not going to do that. Instead, just three short points about this particular passage. There's a contrast in this passage, isn't there? Jesus makes plain, this passage, of course, captures this moment in time when he's born. He wasn't speaking yet, of course. Later, though, when he was speaking in his teaching ministry, he makes plain that he came as a great king. But he also made plain that his kingdom was not of this world. He was not a threat to the kingdoms of this world. In fact, God establishes governments to keep civil order. And yet, the kings of the world felt threatened anyway. And so there's a contrast here in Luke's gospel between mighty Caesar and this tiny baby. The first contrast we see is this contrast between their methods of rule. What is the method that governments use to rule? And this is under God's order. This is how God willed it. He has given to governments the power of what? The sword, right? And so governments rule by coercive power. Here we see Caesar issuing a decree, and there's no question about it. Joseph's going to obey this decree. The citizens of that whole known world were going to obey this mighty king. He ruled by strength. He ruled by might. He ruled by the sword. He ruled by coercive power. He ruled by the power of terrible consequence if you disobeyed. Jesus, though, makes plain. He came a whole different sort of kingdom. His kingdom is not of this world. At different occasions, his disciples wanted him to rule with this sort of power. Call down the angels. Use strength. Use power. Jesus makes plain, his kingdom is going to be ruled by love, by persuasion. Love. Maybe you don't always catch yourself in the middle of this, and that's good in a way. Jesus says, "Don't your left hand, don't let your right hand know what it's doing." You actually are controlled this evening by love. The musicians who performed so beautifully for us, I don't think coercive power is what got you here, right? Did anybody threaten you or threaten your livelihood? Or was there any consequences if you didn't show up? Were there going to be consequences for any of you if you didn't show up? We've been compelled this evening by a great king, and he used love to compel us. This is the great power that has changed the world for 2,000 years. The world had seen constant kings, and Caesar Augustus was just one of dozens of Caesars. There's any number of methods of ruling by coercion. But the world has been changed by love. This great king who has persuaded us. We've never felt so loved in all our lives as we have been by this Jesus. Isn't that true? And if you're here tonight and you're still something on the outside looking in like a kid on the outside of a candy shop, and you see people controlled by love, and you yourself haven't yet met this Christ, this all the theology in the texts, all the lessons that have been read to this point, go back and read those passages. Go back and read the hymns. You'll be persuaded that this Jesus is true. He came for you. Well, that's one contrast. A second contrast we see is this contrast of wealth and ownership. the reason why Caesar Augustus could issue this decree, and notice that it says in verse 1, the decree was issued to the whole world. And of course, that's a figure of speech, the whole known world, the whole Mediterranean basin, ruled by the Caesar Augustus, owned by the Caesar Augustus. And at the end of the passage, what do we see that Jesus owns? Nothing. He has to borrow a place to be born. He doesn't even own a house yet. He doesn't even own the manger. It's a borrowed manger. Caesar Augustus owns the whole world. Jesus owns nothing. I was reading today that I think it was Dan Patrick on his ESPN radio show posed the question about winning the Powerball, right? $500 million, $500 million. And the question was, would you give up sports for $500 million? And some of his listeners actually paused at that. And here's the question. Would you give up the scriptures? Would you give up prayer? Would you give up fellowship, what we call the means of grace, the sacraments? Would you give up these opportunities to know Christ personally for $500 million? Would you? When I was in the Navy, we used to play a game when things got quiet on mid-watches in the middle of the night, a game called Anything for Money. And we'd pick on each other one at a time. A crewman would be talking all deployment about how much he loved his wife. And we'd say, all right, would you divorce your wife for $1 million? No, I wouldn't. No way. I love her. What about 10 million? Well, would you give somebody to talk about how much he loves his son? Would you give up your son for adoption for $1 million? No way. What about 10 million? No way. What about 100 million? Well, anything for money. And you could find somebody's weak spot eventually, you see. Would you rather be in Caesar's kingdom and his right-hand man owning the whole known world? Or would you rather be in Jesus' kingdom owning absolutely nothing? This is the contrast. This sort of Christianity that's motivated by love, that's why this new kingdom was so threatening to the powers that be. Christians are a mystery to the world. The world doesn't know how to live except controlled by the things they can see and feel and touch. And when they meet people that are controlled by love, they're either drawn in or offended. We are either a fragrance of aroma of life or aroma of death. And there's this powerful contrast here. The final contrast is hinted at here, and it's not made explicit in any way, but we know this to be the case. And it's a contrast of the futures of these two men. Caesar Augustus, what was his future going to look like? He had gotten as physically big as he was ever going to get. Some of us who are grown men and grown women, that's true of us. And from now on, we just begin stooping a little bit more and a little bit more. We lose body mass, and we end up in the grave, and we end up disintegrating. Dust. That was Caesar's future. He tried to get people to worship him. I don't even know if he believed in himself. His future was decreasing. His bigness was going to get smaller and smaller and smaller and end in disintegrated dust. Meanwhile, Jesus, a little baby, and here we've got a little baby right here in the second row. Have you ever met a baby that doesn't get bigger? These babies all grow. They grow and grow and grow. This little Jesus, his future was nothing but growth and bigness until he got so big that he conquered death and was declared by his Father in heaven. He'd always been, but declared for all of us to see, the powerful Son of God ruling all mankind. And so this passage shows us our great hope. We can either side with those who have all sorts of force and power and the power of the sword and muscle, or we side with the King in weakness. We can side with those who win the Powerball, $500 million, own the whole known world, or we side with those who own nothing, reigned by Jesus, ruled by Jesus. And we either side with those who are big now, but one day end very, very small into nothingness, or we side with this little baby Christ, who we know has become bigger and bigger and is now seated at the Father's right hand, the King of all the world. This is glorious and good news. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for coming into this world in weakness to correct us, to draw us up short as if we would, because otherwise we would think that might wins the day, money wins the day, owning the whole known world wins the day. But instead, you've taught us love is what wins the day. Sacrifice and service, your love. Embrace us with your love, Lord Jesus. Help us to know you more deeply. Help us to never sell these privileges of knowing you personally for all the riches of heaven. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.